Yeah, it's a give and take. It's a give and take. So we'll go ahead and call the June Traffic Safety Commission meeting to order. Jennifer, do you have roll call? Do you have roll call? Duly noted?
Oh, I didn't hear you call for it, so.
Roll call.
Okay, duly noted.
Make us official. Sounds so professional. So if you please join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So one thing that was accidentally left off of the agenda was public comment, and we'll look to our one public to see if they want to comment. No comment from our public. So our next item is consent calendar, and that's basically review of approved the meeting minutes from April 9th, 2012. Are there any additions or corrections to the meeting minutes? A motion to approve as read. Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. New business. Traffic Safety Commission item 12-013, temporary street closures for Farmers Market. It's kind of a housekeeping issue. Paul, do you want to do it? Chief Casey, do you want to do it?
We're with you. This is the temporary street closure for the farmers market. This is an annual closure that we've been doing. We just need to get it approved by the Traffic Safety Committee, and then it'll go to the City Council. So I think is that the correct process, Mary? Yeah, it may not. So, but anyway, the dates are there in the back, and it's just for Tunes on Tuesday and the farmers market.
Any questions about temporary street closures? Motion to approve.
Almost.
Second. All those in favor, signify
question
by saying aye.
If I may.
Mr. Mayor.
Are you doing new business A or new business B, or are you combining them?
How do you want to make your motion, for both or signal out A and then B? Okay, so we'll make the motion to be for motion to pass Traffic Safety Commission item 12-013 and 12-015, temporary street closures for both Farmers Market and Tunes on Tuesday. And is that okay with whoever made the second? Okay, all those in favor of the motion as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. So then we will move on to a presentation of Newburgh version of Complete Streets. And Leslie, are you going to
yes.
do that?
Just a moment.
Okay.
I realize I'm going to talk to you very quick. Do you have?
Please stand by for technical difficulties.
So hopefully you remember a few months ago I made a presentation, speeded through an 80-something slide presentation from this CompleteStreets.org. Since then, Diana and Shannon and I primarily, with the help of Paul, have been working to really make a Newburgh-specific presentation to see if we can get what is potentially a very large ball rolling in the direction of what Mr. Fisher was just talking about earlier this evening, to really make Newburgh a place where bicycles, pedestrians, bus riders, and cars, trucks are all equally accommodated on the roads and in different ways on different roads. This particular concept has been called complete streets, just because it includes everybody. And so this presentation that you'll see tonight, this is what we've been working on. Our next step is to work with the, Paul, is it the Planning Commission or the Planning Department that is doing the traffic transportation system plan?
I think it would be with the planning and building department, and also and see how this may percolate into some policy or things of that sort. So there needs to be a furtherance of discussion.
Thank you. So tonight is kind of a practice. We'll see how this looks, and I would really appreciate any feedback that anyone has on how the slides look or the progression of them or anything that is extra or you feel that we could add. And I'll just let you know at the beginning, this CompleteStreets.org is an organization, and that's the website at the bottom. If you have further questions, you can look there. If we have any, I don't think we have any quotes or statistics, but they have done a very good job of citing all of the information presented, the specific information presented in there from different studies and variety of information. So next slide, please. So what are complete streets? We'll start here. Safe, comfortable, and convenient for travel for everyone, regardless of age or ability, including motorists, pedestrians, bicyclists, and public transportation. And then we've added at the bottom, just changing the focus from cars to people. So not just in a vehicle, but people in all different ways of traveling. A lot of streets right now are inadequate. This is just one example of a wheelchair user having a really hard time getting safely across the street. But this is a picture in America. We do know how to build things right. You can see a shared bike and pedestrian path. There's crosswalks, cars turning. This is a fairly busy intersection. Streets can benefit communities. This is really the key part of complete streets. I'll read it out loud here. By routinely responding to the needs of people on foot, public transportation and bicycles, walking, riding bikes, and riding buses and trains will be safer and easier for everyone. People of all ages and abilities will have more options when traveling to work, school, the grocery store, and visiting friends, family, and neighbors. And so, just to make sure that everyone understands, this isn't just a traffic thing. It's not just about putting in some more bike lanes or adding a sidewalk or a signal. This is really, it can really change the way folks live and work and interact with each other by increasing capacity on the roads for how many different users there are. It also improves your safety while you're on the road, better health. It's a lot healthier to be riding your bike or walking than sitting in your car. Economic growth, you'll see a slide in a little bit about when people are on foot or on bikes, there's a lot more potential to stop in at a shop, and you'll see an excellent example of that in a moment. Lower emissions, obviously, fewer cars. Reduced costs, because the bikes and pedestrians and shared transportation uses the road less. What is the word? Requires less maintenance, and also to do it correctly the first time, involving all the different users, is cheaper and easier to do it at the beginning than to go back and do retrofits later on. By having a policy such as this, involves smarter growth for the entire community, and also just to provide choices. You don't just have to drive to Fred Meyer. You could ride your bike. You could walk. You could take the bus. So here we have a couple Newburgh examples. This is Highway 219 at Everest Road. On the top left is before. If you don't remember, there was a I think one, possibly more, pedestrian fatalities. This one occurred over a year ago. And so since that has happened, we now have, as you can see on the bottom, there is a marked crosswalk. There is a median in the center. And there are also two flashing pedestrian lights that are you can activate by a button when you get there. And so they flash yellow and give the cars extra notice that there's someone crossing there. There are also street lights up above that go out. There before there were no street lights. Now there are street lights that go out over the road and provide light across for the pedestrian crossing. And another example that we have here is East 2nd Street. Before and after, you can see the before just is kind of a rough asphalt street, and afterwards we've got sidewalks. There are, you can't see it in the picture below, but there are some bioswales, which are environmental projects to take a lot of the rainwater and rain runoff from the streets, and instead of sending it into the stormwater system and potentially overloading streams and creating erosion problems for fish and wildlife, that stream rain runoff is just taken care of right there on site. These bioswales essentially act as sponges and just take that water right down back into the ground. You can also see a pedestrian sign at the crosswalk there. However, Newburgh is not perfect. We still have a few things to work on. You can see Villa Road with the railroad there, and we are all familiar with Villa Road and the tight corners and the one side with the bike lane, no sidewalks. And then the other, on the right there, Springbrook Road. It's actually funny, this picture, if you're facing south, and I took this picture a week ago or so, if you're facing south, as this picture shows, you see the end of the sidewalk to a dirt footpath where people are still obviously walking on that side of the road past the field and then on down to, what is that? I think Victoria is the first street you come to. If you would just turn around and face the other way, you would see the beautiful traffic circle that is there. And it's all nicely developed, and you'll see a picture here shortly. You know, with bike lanes and all sorts of things, but it didn't get all the way down the entire length of Springbrook. So we still have work to do. So next slide, please. This is the example I mentioned earlier, the Washington, D.C. street. This is the same street, the same block, and just for an economic growth opportunity, from just focusing on cars to using a complete streets approach and involving pedestrians and buses and bikes and all different other modes of transportation. You can see just a concrete dollar amount of changes that had occurred for this particular neighborhood. Next slide. And so a complete street policy. So, okay, this is great. How do we do this? How do we actually get to a complete street situation? By writing a policy, having something in writing. And again, this is so that everybody at all levels of the city of Newburgh understands what is the goal and what needs to happen in every situation. If it's a repair or maintenance or building a new street or sidewalk, then everyone knows what the larger goal is. And then a few more examples of complete streets design that we have implemented here. There's on the left is the traffic circle. This, I was standing on Crestview, the west side of Crestview there, facing east. And then also 2nd Street on the right, again using the bike lanes. And there you can see a little more of the bioswales on either side of the road and a bus station further down on the far right. And Seattle is just one of many cities across the U.S. I think there was one slide in the presentation we eliminated, but it said in 2010 there were about 200 different communities, either cities or towns, that had implemented complete streets. And so these are some of the examples from Seattle, just up the road. And you can see some of these are new constructions, some are retrofits, a variety of projects that they did. Next slide. And then these are different organizations that are a part of the Coalition for National Street Complete Streets. And you can see they're from all different purposes, health, safety, environmental, National Association of Realtors. Because again, this is something that can really affect everybody and not just traffic folks. Because everybody uses the roads. Everyone needs to get around. And then I think our last slide is gives credit to some of the folks who help support the program. And I think, is that our very last? Oh, then the final slide. So are there questions or comments? Please.
Nice presentation.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, Diana gets credit for assembling the slideshow and creating some of the Newburgh slides. And she keeps saying it was not a lot of work, but it was some work, so thank you.
I think the issue, and you touched on it, but I think perhaps that we need to reinforce it, is the concept of public health and public safety. And what are the ultimate results in the area of public health and ultimate results in public safety. And it's not so much safety of the walking pedestrian and the bicyclist, if you wish, but it was alluded to in the previous one, the more people we have in an area, more pedestrians, the more bikes, the more people we have in the area, there's actually less crime. And I think the chief can speak to that. So all of these fit in. So your public safety is more than just mm-hmm. making it safe to walk on the street, a bicycle on the street. It just provides a safer community. The same type of approach with your public health.
Thank you.
Can I?
Have you had any planning to have any conversations with the Newburgh Downtown Coalition?
No, we have not. We're still in the figuring out what to do next.
That's good.
Yeah.
I would put that in on the back burner, but I would. Mm-hmm. And then, as Paul was saying, your next step is looking at whatever's going to come out of the transportation system plans in the future. Then the Planning Commission, but you also want to put on the back burner your service clubs.
And I actually made an open invitation to the Planning Commission to attend tonight, and was kind of a little bit disappointed that we didn't get anybody, but we'll definitely be communicating it and things like that with them. Have been a little bit through Mayor's Cabinet and such, but I think it's a nice joint effort that Traffic Safety and Planning Commission can kind of work together with, so at least when they're planning stuff, they're thinking about these things.
There was some verbiage in Mr. Fisher's presentation. According to numbers, it was like safety by numbers. It was a specific phrase that he used. Do you recall that at all? So I was thinking if we were talking about crime reduction, it might be good to use a specific phrase.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he said, but it was good.
Yeah, I wrote down safety in numbers and awareness in numbers.
Yeah.
When pedestrians and bikes are the common element, motorists expect their presence. Yeah, I noticed that as well. Other comments or questions? Any suggestions or improvements that you did? You think there was anything missing?
Diane, it's a very nice presentation. And I don't know that I would make any suggestions for improvements. One thing that I might consider doing is I think I would use Corvallis as a model, not Seattle, because I think what I have found is that communities like Newburgh, they don't like the big cities telling them how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing's probably going on in Corvallis. It's just an idea. I don't know whether it'll improve things at all, but you might consider that.
This is something maybe Mayor can answer or Paul, but with First Street, Hancock, and 99W being kind of most of our commercial in this city, how much do we have to play with ODOT to, if we wanted to start working on changes like this, how much buy-in would they have or oversay would they have on anything that we would try to be pursuing?
It's two questions, right?
It can be, yeah.
Buy-in, probably very little. Extremely difficult to persuade at this time. They're moving vehicles is what they're interested in, except for that 1% that they have to. That's another issue, but no. If I may,
Mr. Chair, I want to add to that answer. For those of you that are not aware, the ODOT did receive the record of decision from the Oregon Highway Administration for the bypass. Now, ultimately, there may be discussions based on whatever the current way the winds are blowing in ODOT at some future time, there may be discussions about jurisdictional transfers. And were that to be a reasonable thing for the city to consider, are we getting it with some maintenance connected with it, the edit and all the rest of the things, then we would be able to then determine how we want to use Hancock and First and what we want to do with changing the traffic patterns, what we want to do with traffic calming, what we want to do with making that to become back, take our downtown back. That's yet to be to come. And it won't be for a while before we want to consider that. And right now, they have changed some of their philosophy on jurisdictional transfer, which is not attractive to the city. There is some movement to force it. And as cities, we're not sympathetic to that. We will listen to a jurisdictional transfer, but I don't think we want to take a jurisdictional transfer today with the condition of First Street without that thing being rebuilt, so to speak. Some of these types of things that are involved. So that piece, no, but as I was asking Leslie, when you talk about the downtown coalition and some of the visioning that's going on for the downtown and how that fits in, then yes, I think there are things there that can be done that may or may not have to directly involve ODOT.
Good. Carl?
I my experience with ODOT is they're not as adverse, maybe, but your experience may have been very different than mine. And I know Ed Fisher was the only state traffic engineer for the state of Oregon. I mean, he stamped everything. And he rides bicycles like crazy. So he's done a lot to promote bicycles and pedestrian safety. And I think one of the things that our program, type of program is aimed at is to slow down traffic, make it safer, make it more neighborhood friendly, and that maybe starts in away from the highways. I mean, that it may be in neighborhoods and it may be on the way to schools and those kind of places. And that when the bypass is done, what we've done is removed a lot of traffic from the main thoroughfares through town. And that at that point, going from three lanes each direction, we may be able to go down to two lanes and create a bike path just because the volumes will be less with a bypass in place. So I think we've got a chance there. And, you know, I could suggest some people to talk to at ODOT if you get in a bind. But I'm not sure I wouldn't start with the highways, I don't think.
Mr. Mayor? Any other comments or questions? Thank you, Shannon, Leslie, Diana. Thank you for putting the extra effort and time. You've done a fabulous job, and I think it's definitely a starting point and a place to leap from. I think will take us a long way. So thank you very much for all that you did. Any old business or any other new business, I guess I should ask before we move on. Any other new business? Any old business? Okay, seeing that, we'll move right into staff reports, and we'll start with Chief Casey for a police update. Oh, I'm sorry, Carrie?
I know back in, April, when we met last, we had decided to put aside, temporarily suspend, I guess, the decision to paint the lines at the service station, the Texaco station.
I believe where we left it, because I was talking to the owner not too long ago, and I believe where we left the motion was is that Paul was going to talk to the owner, and if his decision was to continue with business, then the lines would go in. But if his decision was to cease business, then it wasn't worth the city putting any effort into that. So, Paul, do you have any type of information
on
that?
Let me speak to that. Since that meeting, we talked to the business owner, and they have every intention to continue their gas station business. And so, therefore, we will proceed with the decision to implement that that motion. And so it will happen. I've been in contact with Russ Thomas, and so he will take care of that one according to his schedule. And so, yes, we'll go ahead with that.
Okay. Thanks for asking. Thanks for bringing that up. Any other old business before we move on? Chief Casey, I'll give the mic to you.
Thank you. The police department's gearing up, for what will probably be a very busy summer for us. We have the Special Olympics event coming up in the middle of July. Which will absorb a lot of our resources, the Old Fashioned Festival. There's a Dundee Marathon. And if you've been uptown recently at the First Friday events, you may have noticed a presence of police down there. that's by design. We've had some issues with pedestrians being hit by bicyclists and a few other issues going on down there. But beyond that, we think, you know, there's enough folks down there and enough things going on. It's a good idea just to have some police presence down there just to make people feel a little more comfortable and slow traffic down and hopefully keep the pedestrians safe. So as well as Tunes on Tuesday and the farmers market. And so it's going to be a busy summer for us, as it always is. And then just a couple other things. We had one of our canine officers took it upon himself to do a little fundraiser for the department, and he raised almost $9,000 from the community for our patrol and drug canine programs. And as you might imagine, in this time of tight budgets, that money will come in very handy. And I'm very proud of the officer to take it upon himself and raise this money and help supplement the budget. So that was a very good effort by Officer Schoening. And just a few other things. We just recently participated in the Tip a Cop program fundraiser for Special Olympics out at the Cooperstown, raised $1,400. Another event we're going to be involved with is St. Baldrick's. That's where some officers have gone out and raised money to shave their heads. Now, I jumped in the Columbia, but I'm not planning on shaving my head. I did that once when I was in the police academy, and I was engaged in a few of us thought it'd be fun to shave our heads. Well, when my now wife, saw me, she wasn't all too happy. So I promised her I wouldn't shave my head again. And that's been over 20 years ago, and I've managed to keep my hair, so I think I'll continue on with that. So. And then lastly, we had an officer that just saved a guy's life. We got called to a heart attack call, and he had a break into the house and did chest compressions on this individual until the fire department got there. But he ended up saving the gentleman's life. So that, of course, is another deed that we're very proud of. So that's my report for the night. If there's any questions, I'll take those. Otherwise, I'll turn it over to my distinguished colleague, Mr. Chu. Oh, I meant to say the mayor.
Well, if there are no other questions, I thank Chief Casey, my distinguished colleague and partner in traffic safety matters. A couple of project updates. One of them that was shown up on the PowerPoint on Villa Road. We're glad to tell you that planning and engineering staff have applied for an ODOT grant, which would make available $22 million statewide for projects that they will evaluate. And we have submitted those on the 6th of June. We are hoping it's actually a notice of intent that was submitted by David Beam. And so engineering, we are playing the supporting and collaborative effort in that. And hopefully they will find an interest in our project. If that is the case, then we may be notified later on this summer to proceed with a formal application that has a deadline sometime at the end of this year. So let's hope something will come along. It's a very steep competition. I think we have a pretty good package that we submitted. So just want to let you know about that one there. So we'll have a sidewalk on the east side and bike lanes on both sides with a little bit of a bird watching sort of a resting area just before the railroad trestles. So we geared it up so that it would be able to earn as many points as possible. That's the way that they score projects. So we have crafted it in that manner. And so there have been also a number of pictures, and we have some designed that was done a while back, and my supervisor, city engineer Jay, has been working on that one, and we make it into a couple of graphical presentations showing the plan and also the profile of the road, and also some photographs showing the curvature of the road up and down and sideways, indicating that it is a very pedestrian unfriendly and bicyclist unfriendly road that we have, and it's one of the few that goes north and south. So let's hope that we'll get some attention from the panel of evaluators at the ODOT office. Another one we want to mention is on the College Street neighborhood traffic studies. And so that one is going on in earnest, and we'll be meeting with, we'll be doing some a field meeting with the consultant. They will make an observation actually on one of the Tuesdays, probably somewhere between 3 and 5 o'clock, somewhere around that neighborhood, to hopefully observe one of the worst time of the day, some of the traffic there. And so eventually, when that is all done, we'll present a report to all of you here for consideration of what can be done or any suggestion to improve that area at College and Sheraton. And the other thing is that one more project is the one on the College Street transportation enhancement project to provide a sidewalk on the west side and bike lanes on both sides. We have been working with the consultant, OTEC, on that one, so it's still going on. There's still a little bit of survey remaining for that project, field survey. So maybe in about a week's time, they will be able to finish that and then move on to identify areas where additional right-of-way may be required for new sidewalks. So we may move into a right-of-way acquisition phase later on this summer. So that's an interesting one. On the railroad crossing area, we have advertised the remaining work, unfortunately, we have to reject the bids. But we were able to negotiate with the contractors, and we are hoping that we'll be getting the railroad right of entry permit, and get all the insurance set up, and also be in contract with a contractor to finish up what you see there, the remaining sidewalk connection at the railroad crossing area. And so that would happen, this month or so. By that time, we should be able to at least have complete sidewalk connection from Vermillion to Illinois Street and the Daskin area, and then go all the way along Illinois to Main Street. So that would be sort of the first portion of that project that you see in construction. So that's what we are working on at this point in time. Mm-hmm. If you have any other questions, feel free to ask. Thank you.
Any questions for Paul or Chief Casey? Good. Thank you. So seeing that, we'll go ahead and, Ms. Mayor, do you have anything?
No, thank you. No, I made the announcement earlier on we have the rod, which will now really say let's begin the construction. And that may actually begin as early as this year in some pieces. As we do, there'll be some already starting, and there has been a discussion of some type of a ceremonial groundbreaking very possibly this year. So it's great that we have that, and after 20 some odd years, we may actually have a reality there. And then we can test Commissioner Berkey's idea with those that are in ODOT that may yield. We've had those in ODOT that say you're never going to have a bypass too, and worked diligently that we didn't have one, but they did not survive. Thank you.
Hannah, do you have anything? Carrie? Diana?
One thing. In keeping with the bikes and pedestrian theme of this evening, just in case you haven't seen, the bike route through Newburgh has been completed with the Sharrows on the road, and they've just finished installing the wayfinding signs, which if you're on foot or on bike, you can see that it is half a mile to the library or, you know, different destinations, streets or downtown or George Fox, the pool, just to give you an idea of how far it is. So you could get your bike out and go ride. It starts at basically at Safeway, or just on Hayworth across from Safeway, and all the way down a little bit on Villa, and then across Fulton through George Fox, down Meridian to 9th Street, and it goes all the way there to Ewing Young Park, to the skate park. So pretty much all the way across town you can get not by car, and pretty safely too. It's all on, you know, less traffic streets. You cross Highway 99, but they're both at signalized intersections. So just wanted to let you know that is now in effect. And there was, Ryan Howard had put on a bike fest just this past Saturday, kind of as a culmination of the May, which is a national walk and bike to work or to school, walk and bike month. And there had been kind of a small movement to do a bike and walk challenge different places around Newburgh during the month. And so this bike fest on Saturday was the culmination of that with some awards and then an inaugural group ride on the bike route.
Carl? I'll skip over our halftime and jubilee celebrant for a second. James?
I got one question for Chief Casey. And this has been asked to me by several individuals. Are we citing bicyclists for not yielding to traffic control signals?
Yes, we, well, we do, and we have, and we will. We don't ever tell officers that you will issue a citation for this. We always allow them to use their discretion. But in fact, we have cited bicyclists for failure to comply or obey traffic control devices. We've arrested bicyclists for DUIs. You know, they try to show some leniency with the bikes to some extent, but we do try to enforce those as best we can. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Thank you. That does answer the question. Now I can tell the others that we do.
Follow on, if I may, Mr. Chair. In our neighborhood of residence, and then a couple of other places recently, we notice as these groups come in to do their touring that they have absolutely no regard for any traffic control devices. Do you get any notification that those people are going to be touring on the streets?
Yeah, we do get some notification. In fact, this year we did get some notification. Last year we didn't. They gave us a heads up, and we did go out and patrol some of the areas, the route. Unfortunately or fortunately, the route covers a pretty extensive area of the city. So we can't possibly have a car at each intersection or each stop sign throughout the route within the city to ensure that they enforce, that they obey all the traffic laws. But some of the feedback I got was that in some areas they weren't compliant at all, the bicyclists, and then in other areas they were compliant. Bicyclists are not very compliant of stop signs when they're doing the tours. I went out and watched some of them, and they pretty much roll through the stop signs. Now, there is some thought, and I won't drag on too long here, that it's actually safer for a bicyclist to roll up to a stop sign and not come to a complete stop than it is for them to come to a complete stop, because when the bicycle is moving, they have the ability to maneuver it a little bit and get out of the way of a car if they need to, whereas if it's stopped, they're kind of off balance, and it's tough to move a bicycle when both your feet are on the ground, so to speak. So, it's a complicated problem. We try to balance the enforcement with the situation. If a guy's riding through a residential zone and there's no cars, we're going to be hard pressed to stop a guy and give him a ticket for going through a stop sign at 1 or 2 miles an hour. We try to use some common sense. However, if he's running stop signs downtown out in front of cars and causing a hazard, then that's probably going to be a different issue. So
the reason I was asking then is with individuals that asked me about that was, there was a group that came through and come down off Zimri Drive and were just buzzing the sign and going right out into Mountain View and across and then coming down Springbrook. And they were just total disregard.
Yeah, they did. They're probably the same group I saw in the same area. So
yeah, they're probably the same group I encountered, and I almost had a hood ornament that morning from one of them who totally disregarded anything, and I felt like I was swatting flies more than I was driving home.
Honestly, unless we put a cop at every intersection where there's a stop sign, I don't think you ever can get a group of bicyclists in the totality of the group to stop at every stop sign of every intersection. I don't, unfortunately, believe that'll ever happen. So.
Here we go.
I was just going to ask, did we have any concrete plans for meeting with the Planning Commission for the transportation plan idea presentation?
Not that I know of. That's our next step. Maybe we could take a minute afterwards with Paul and see.
Mary, do you have anything? Jennifer? One thing I wanted to bring up is, I've talked about it a little bit before, but I'm working with Terry Maher, asking Terry Maher to look at our code. We are going to change it a little bit to have our elections in November for officers. That way we're not doing a January election and musical chairs and congratulations, you're it type thing. Gives a couple months for whoever the new officers are, if we have new officers, to become adjusted and ask questions and be ready for that January meeting. With that regard, I'm not asking to not be chair, but I would like to open it up that we've got 5 months, so if anybody is interested, has questions, wants to do something that the mayor's been doing, of doing like a revolving hammer, where if you just want to take a subject and try it, gavel, hammer, pounding device. So, I'm not going to answer that question. But I guess my philosophy is that I don't want to create a monarchy. There are other talented people on this commission who I think could do the job of chair also, and I don't want to stand in the way if you want to do that and everything like that. So just think about it. We've got a few months, so just please entertain the idea for that. That being said, I will turn it over to our illustrious Ms. Brandt for her final words.
We did a log of decisions.
No, we didn't. Is there anything we need to do with the log of decisions? Has everybody looked at the log of decisions? I don't know that there's anything we need. I think Carrie found the one item that we needed to probably do some follow-up on, and I think we got that answer from Paul. So is there anything else we need to do follow-up on for the log of decisions? We have a motion on the floor. Second?
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.